The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Today's gospel reading is not about sibling rivalry. Mary, the younger sister, the one who was a dreamer, slacking off, avoiding work in the kitchen, and then Martha, the stern older sister, who was busy maintaining the household. Then Jesus and his disciples show up, and Martha's busy whipping a meal together, getting everything just right, and she really gets peeved at Mary because Mary is not helping one little bit, but is off there in the living room, sitting at Jesus' feet, and letting her, Martha, do all the work. That is not what today's gospel reading is all about. Wait, maybe it's about this. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his word. Maybe the word of God would be more effective if we would, you know, just remove these front rows of pews and everyone would come up and sit around on the floor here, cross-legged, you know, like a hippie or an Indian or whatever. Maybe if we did that, then God's word could really cut loose and accomplish great things for us. Well, fear not. That is not what today's gospel reading is about either. What today's gospel is about can be summed up in this word of God that Jesus spoke in the wilderness to Satan when the devil said, "See these stones here, you're hungry. Why don't you turn those into loaves of bread so you can eat and satisfy your hunger?" And you know how Jesus replied? "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Let me repeat that. We human beings do not live by bread alone, by earthly food, the many earthly blessings that we have, but rather we live eternally by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And it does not matter if you're sitting cross-legged on the floor as you hear that word, if you're in a wheelchair, if you're standing up, if you're reclining, or even if you're standing on your head. What counts is listening to and hearing God's word. And that is what Mary of Bethany does in today's gospel. And that's why she is an example to us. And that's why she serves, if you will, as a figure of the Holy Christian Church, which lives by the Word of God and by that Word alone. Now, earthly food is good. If we did not have food, none of us would be here very long. God has provided earthly food and drink for our benefit because he has created us, body and soul. And it is very, very important, I think we'll all agree, that our life in this world is a gift from God. And the things that we need to sustain that life are likewise a gift from God. And think about it if you have a loved one who's very ill in the hospital, or even a loved one in hospice where they reach the point where they just lose all interest in food. And you want them to eat because food maintains and sustains their life, but they just can't process it anymore. The kidneys are shutting down. And so they lose all interest in food, and that's a good sign that someone's getting close to death. It's kind of that way with God's word. It is our daily bread. It is the bread of life spoken to us by the bread of life come down from heaven for the life of the world. Your faith, not faith in general, but your faith in Christ Jesus as your Redeemer from sin and death and hell is kept alive by His holy word. Your faith is strengthened and nourished by the word of peace that He speaks to you in the gospel. You do not live by bread alone. Rather, you live as a Christian by your ears that gladly hear the word of God, by your mind that gladly learns the word of God, and by your heart that gladly receives and welcomes the word of God, just as Martha welcomed Jesus into her home. Now, I don't want to give you the wrong idea about Martha. A lot of times Martha is beat up on. You know, she's so busy in the kitchen, she's wanting to prepare food and everything, and you know, she should have just ignored all that. And you know, we can see her faith was weak because, you know, she wasn't in there listening to Jesus. Well, Martha's faith is very strong. In fact, when her brother Lazarus dies in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 11, and Jesus comes into Bethany after Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days, it's Martha who rushes out to Jesus and says to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus says to her, "Your brother will rise again." And she says, "Well, I know he's going to rise again in the resurrection on the last day." But Jesus turns things around. He doesn't point to the distant last day in response to Martha's statement. He points to himself. He says to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And then here's Martha. She says to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." That's faith. That's a strong confession of faith in Christ. She calls him Lord, a Greek word for God, coming from the Hebrew Yahweh or Jehovah, the name of the Lord your God. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. You are the one who has been promised to come into the world to save our fallen human race from the condemnation and the eternal death we deserve. So it's not that Martha didn't have faith there back in Bethany when she was busy in the kitchen, rattling those pots and pans, whipping up a meal. It's that she allowed herself to be distracted from Jesus, distracted from the Word of the Word made flesh. She thought everything depended on her. She was so busy cooking up that meal because she wanted it just right for Jesus. And she forgot that Jesus had come not so much to be served by Mary and Martha, but to serve them with the word of life that He alone could speak. She was so focused on what she thought she had to do, on her busyness for Jesus, that she missed the point entirely. And when she came to Jesus, He gently, lovingly got her back on course. said, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." In the parable of the sower, Jesus speaks of a sower who goes out to sow a seed. As he sowed, some fell along the path, was trampled underfoot. The birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, it grew up, but it withered away because it didn't have any roots. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And then Jesus says, after he finishes this parable, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And that "he" means she's too. She who has ears to hear, let her hear. So later, the disciples get Jesus alone and ask him to explain the parable. He says, "Well, the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard that word, but then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved." It's like coming to church one time. You know, you hear the word and you think, "Okay, I'm here. I've done my duty for God. Now I don't need to be back for 10 years. Or a catechumen, confirmed. I know everything there is to know about the word of God, and so I've graduated. Hey, forget about church. That's a devil snatching away the word from someone's heart. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but they have no root, so they believe for a while. And in a time of testing, a time of suffering for the faith, they fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the anxieties and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Martha was anxious and troubled about many things. And her anxiety about having things just right for Jesus kept her from hearing and receiving his word. She was focused on many things instead of the one thing needful. So again, Jesus gently got her back on course, and she heard his word. And by that word, she was able to confess that he is the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. She was able to bear fruit 100-fold because of that word. Now, dear Christian friends, what does this have to do with us? Well, first, it doesn't mean we take out the pews so we can sit all cross-legged like Mary and hear the word. You can hear that word wherever you are. You can reflect upon that word when you're taking a shower. You can reflect upon that word when you're mowing the lawn. You can read that word in your own home. But you, as the redeemed people of Christ, come here to the divine service to hear that word, not in a solitary kind of way, but with your brothers and sisters in Christ, the redeemed of Christ, those with whom you share an inheritance of hope in Christ Jesus. So we as a church are to be about the business of hearing God's word, of hearing it and learning it gladly, of gathering around that word in worship and in Bible study. That's our chief business. Yeah, we're going to have movie night tonight, and that's a time to relax and enjoy being together and eat some pizza and whatever. But that's not the business of the church. The business of the church is what Jesus would have for us. Jesus is among us as one who serves. And that's what he does today, dear friends. That's what he does today as the gospel of forgiveness is proclaimed to you. You see, you and I sometimes grow slack in hearing the word of God. We let other things crowd that word out, grab our attention from that word. But Christ speaks to us. He corrects us with love. He doesn't come down on us with the 2x4 unless we really need it. He says, "Hey, here I am, the one who died for you, the one who was raised for you, the one in you whom you have complete forgiveness of all of your sins, the one in whom the pastor can confidently say to you, as a called and ordained servant of the word, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Jesus is here for you in his word. That word spoken in our liturgy. That word spoken over you as you were baptized according to Christ's institution in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That word that you hear and which bestows upon you as free gift, Christ, true body and blood, given and shed for the forgiveness of sins. On the night our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you." And then after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins." You know, the word is what is important there. Small Catechism says, what's the benefit of this eating and drinking? And it answers, these words, given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins, show us, tell us, that in the sacrament, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation are given us through these words. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there also is life and salvation. Then the Catechism, you know, kind of playing dumb, that's because we're sometimes dumb, and we need to be prompted in our learning. The Catechism asks, how can bodily eating and drinking do such great things? Certainly not just eating and drinking do these things, although the eating and drinking are vital and necessary, but the words written here, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. These words, along with the bodily eating and drinking, are the main thing in the sacrament. Whoever believes these words has exactly what they say, forgiveness of sins. And then skipping on ahead a line, that person is truly worthy and well prepared, who has faith in these words given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. So the church listens to the word of her Lord. You know, the church is busy with other things. We're called to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We're called, as we heard in last week's gospel reading, to go and do likewise, to help and serve those in need. But first comes the hearing of the word. First comes the reception of that word of life. It comes to us in preaching and teaching and reading of the scriptures and in the sacrament of the altar. Because it's only then, as we are fed and nourished by the word of Christ, the word of forgiveness, the word of salvation, whether it comes to us in its proclaimed form, its visible form of water and word and holy baptism, or the visible form of the bread and wine in which Christ gives us his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. You and I, as Christians, live by that word. And we live by our ears. You know what? You don't have to have big, humongous ears. just to hear that word. By the Holy Spirit, your ears are tuned to hear God's word of life in Christ for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior.